Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Cook's Church. Today is Cook's Men of the Church Sunday, and I'm Mike Stanford. I'll be leading off. All right, today's announcements are we'll have a new members class today, August 11th, and next Sunday, August 18th, in room 113, immediately following this morning's service. A reminder, at 7 p.m., session meeting is tonight. Everyone is invited to join Pastor Jason for a cooking class tonight in the fellowship hall at 3 o'clock. He will be serving up a delicious meal. Also, we have the adult Bible study at 6 p.m. tonight. The topic will be serving alongside others. We are also continuing with the collections of the school supplies for some of the local schools through this morning. If you haven't brought your donations yet, please see Pete Self to make arrangements to do so. We're continuing the Sunday cereal drive. It will be ending next Sunday, August 18th. We are asking for donations of new boxes of cereals that can be placed in the collection bins in the Northex and the education buildings. The cereal will go to the Nourish Up food bank to help families in need, and we are making a dominoes chain through the sanctuary on August 25th that will also serve as a visual memory of these children. We also will be having a homecoming September 22nd. So mark your calendars. I'm going to take the opportunity today to talk about the fellowship hall, update people. As you can see, brickwork is done. Hopefully, with the weather permitting, outside carpentry work will be finished. They are hanging and finishing drywall inside right now. Hopefully, by midweek, painters will be coming in, starting the painting. The drop ceiling grid will be installed later on this week, and then next week, we hope them to move forward with the next phase. So we are moving forward. We're still under... In the range of being finished completing the work by the end of the month. So we're on track. Thank you. All right. There's further announcements in your bulletin. This morning flowers are in memory of our beautiful daughter Wanda, in loving memory of our beautiful daughter-in-law Tracy, by Linda and Roy Lynn. Thank you.
I have just a couple of announcements to make very quickly. The first is it's with Christian sympathy that we express our sympathy to the Jill Griffin family. Jill passed away. Her service will be on Wednesday here at the church at 1 o'clock. Prior to that, there will be a visitation starting at 11 o'clock. It's open to everyone. The second announcement is just the bad news that we initiated a relationship with a director of community engagement. That relationship didn't work out, and after reviewing all the details and the various facts, we decided to let her go. If there's any questions that need to be had on that, I'll be here and available to answer them after the service. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements before we get started for worship this morning? Okay, that being the case, let's open our hearts and minds to the worship of God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. The responses can be found in your bulletin or on the screen. Come, let us gather in the presence of our loving God.
Rejoice in his unfailing grace and mercy.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love.
Grace for his boundless love and kindness.
Let us worship with hearts open to his Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather in your presence with hearts full of gratitude and awe. We thank you for the gift of this day and the opportunity to come together as your people to worship and praise your holy name. Fill this place with your Spirit and open our hearts to receive your word. Lord, we lift our voices to you acknowledging your greatness and your unfailing love. May our worship be pleasing to you, and may it draw us closer to you, to one another. Guide us in your truth and inspire us to live as faithful witnesses of your grace. Help us to lay aside the burdens and distractions of this world so that we may focus on your presence and your promises. May this time of worship renew our spirits and strengthen our faith, empowering us to be the light in our communities. In the name of Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All that are able to stand, please do, and let's sing number 720 in the red hymn book. The words will also be on the screen.
Call to confession. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God will, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will you join me in prayer? We confess that we have strayed from your ways. We have not loved you fully or loved ourselves. Forgive us for our sins and renew our hearts. Help us to walk in your light and reflect your love. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we have been eternally claimed by an eternal and loving God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. Amen. Amen.
Sing what we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe. it's time for the children's moment, so will all the kids come forward?
Good morning. How's everybody? I know. Me too. Have you had a good summer so far? All right. Good deal. Good deal. Won't be long till we'll have to go back to school. Oh, my goodness. So hopefully we're ready for that. I want to share a story with you that's about school. There were these two guys that met in college, and they became best friends real quick. Their names were Sandy and Arthur. Soon after they became best friends, though, Sandy started losing his eyesight, and he became totally blind. But Arthur was there for him to help him, and But what he did, though, Sandy dropped out of college. And Arthur had a fit about that. He totally disagreed with that. He would have none of it. He told him, he said, look, if you come back to school next semester, I will help you and we'll get through this thing together. So he did. But one day, they went to Grand Central Station. That's in downtown New York City. Big, huge place, big train station, right? And Arthur told Sandy, he said, hey, man, I got to leave. And Sandy spent the next 2 hours wandering around that place. He bumped into people. He knocked a few things over and all that kind of thing. But finally, after 2 hours, he found the right train to get him back to school. And when he got back to school, he found out something incredible. Arthur had never left him to begin with. And you know, the whole time he was with him because they were best friends, right? So he was watching him stumble around, and he was also watching him gain confidence and become independent. And that's what best friends do. But Sandy said, after that whole ordeal, Sandy said, I felt like I could do anything after getting through that. Years later, Sandy Greenberg became a successful businessman. And Arthur changed his name to Art. It was Art Garfunkel. He was a music legend. So ask your parents about Simon and Garfunkel. They put out some of the best music you ever heard. And these two guys, they're both still living. They're still great friends. So that's cool. But you're wondering, all right, well, what does this have to do with us? What does it have to do with Jesus? You know, when we trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God gives us His Holy Spirit from that point on. He does this because He loves us. And the Holy Spirit gives us comfort and guidance. And the Bible promises that the Holy Spirit will never leave us. So when you go back to school and you face trials, remember the Holy Spirit will be there to comfort you and to guide you. Okay? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for giving us your gift of the Holy Spirit. To comfort us and to guide us.
To comfort us and guide us.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming up. Have a good rest of the summer, what little bit's left of it. I did have to mention that, didn't I? Bye, Angel.
theme for this summer and for this month has been on the power and the majesty of God, the complete sovereignty of God, and just who God is. And I heard a speaker once time say that sin is actually loss of memory. We forget what God has done for us and what he continues to do for us every day. So today, our anthem is Salvation Belongs to Our God, and only to our God, because he is the only one who saves us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right.
At this time, we'd like to take a moment and reflect on the passing of three of our men of the church and light a candle. First, we remember Lyle Pace. Next, we remember Tommy McClure. Lastly, remember Jack Parker. I'd like to start another tradition. In the fire department, in the passing of a member, we like to ring them in with one single ring. At this moment, let's pause and reflect with their passing. Amen.
This morning, the men of the church are honoring a gentleman that everyone here should know. In the back of the church, virtually every Sunday, including today, there is a friendly, soft-spoken gentleman helping with ushering and whatever else needs to be done. You might have, in the last couple of years, driven by the church in December and seen a couple guys kneeling and crawling around on the front yard in the cold and the wet, putting up the Christmas lights for the tree. He was there. You might have heard there was a leak in the basement a few weeks ago, late at night. Some men were up here. He was there. You might know that there's been a lot of Wi-Fi wiring done across this campus over the last year. He was there. That's his skill. Whenever something's needed, he shows up. You can run into him almost any day of the week up here. He's often here helping keep the church grounds beautiful and functional. He serves on session and is a member of the Building and Grounds Committee. He grew up in the immediate area. He attended Paw Creek Elementary, Colwood Junior High, and West Mech High School. He was a member of Cub Scout Pack 51 right here at Cook's before becoming a Boy Scout. He played some Little League baseball in Colwood and for 11 years was a member of the Colwood swim team. He attended Castania Presbyterian Church in Stanley. His first car was a 1964 white Ford Falcon that he bought for $25 with his grass cutting money. He found out that didn't get it done, though. He spent a lot more money and a lot of hours working on the car before it could hit the road. But that turned out to be a very good thing because of that experience, he found out that he's a very good mechanic, and that turned into a career for him. As of today, he's owned 25 cars. He started out working summers in high school for his dad at Circle R Trenching. He later worked for Howe Motor Freight, Tar Heel Ford Truck, Town & Country Ford, and Beatty Wrecker Service. In fact, at Tar Heel Ford Truck, he was a diesel mechanic working on the 18-wheelers. After all this, he returned to help out in his dad's business. He actually wound up running the company for the last 5 years that he worked before retiring in 2010. He loves auto racing, so it's very fitting that he met his bride on a blind date that he was unaware of at Rockingham Speedway in 1981. 6 months later, he and Susie were married. Next month, on September 12th, they'll celebrate 43 years of marriage. It is our pleasure to honor Neil Hager with the 2024 Men of the Church Lifetime Membership Award. Come on up. Got a nice plaque here.
Congratulations. I've heard that it's your responsibility to now go hang this back up on the wall that it came from.
Oh,
that's all yours.
Puts you to work.
Am I supposed to say something?
If you like. If you like. It's not your way.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I don't know what to say. And that marked this. And when I don't know anything to say, there are no words. Thank you.
Be doing the prayer for illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, giver of life, breathe into us that we may hear a word of truth this day. Draw us into communion, enable us to love, conspire to make us one with you for the world. So you so deeply love. Amen.
Our Old Testament scripture for today is Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. You can find it on page 221 in your pew Bible and also on the screen. So now give me this hill, country, of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Morning. How y'all today? That's good. They told me when I was going to be up here speaking that I had 15 minutes, and I said, I'll take 15 minutes. So that's 30 minutes. Y'all settle in. We're here for a while. Our New Testament reading today is Philippians 4:6. You can find it on page 1163 in your pew Bible and up here. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I might have told you all this story before, but I think it bears repeating. One time, a little boy came to his daddy and asked him, "You ever pray?" It would break my heart to think that one of my children was going to ask me that question, but it happened. And this man said, "Yeah, I prayed one time. One time." He said, "I was on a hike. It was a 10, 12-mile hike, and I bought a brand-new pair of hiking shoes. And I started out on this hike, and the further I went, the more my feet hurt. And I stopped about 5 or 6 miles in, stopped by a creek, put my feet in the water. Blood come up, the water turned red, and I took my shoes off. My feet were a mess, looked like hamburger." So I sat there. It was still 6 miles to go to get to where I was going or 6 miles back. He said, "I couldn't walk." And then I prayed. I asked God to help me do something to get me out of this mess. About that time, he heard something behind him, looked around, and it was a horse, bridle and saddle. He walked up to the horse, got on, rode it back to where he had started in this parking lot. And this guy came up to him, said, "Where'd you find my horse?" Said he never walks off. This horse had gone. Of course, we know how the horse got there. God got it there. The most amazing thing about this story to me is he prayed one time. One time in his life he prayed. Never went back to God to say, "Thank you, I'm alive today." Webster's Improved Dictionary from 1952 says prayer is a solemn address to the Supreme Being. Prayer is mentioned over 650 times in the Bible. The words prayer, pray, or praying 279 times depends on the version you have in the New Testament. 450 times it's recorded that prayers were answered in the Bible. Genesis 4:26 says that after the birth of Enos, Seth's son, that's Adam and Eve's grandson, men began to call on the word of God. They began to pray. All through the Bible, we can see where men and women came to God in prayer. 25 times it's recorded that Jesus prayed in the Bible. We know he prayed more than 25 times. That's just the times he prayed that is recorded. We know, I feel, he prayed daily, every day. I can't imagine him not coming to the Lord more than that. Paul mentions prayer 41 times in the Bible. I didn't tell you all these numbers just to give you a bunch of statistics, but I do want to talk about prayer today. Earlier this year, Kay put on a four-part class on prayer and praying for others, and she let me help her teach. It made me look better. These are important things to know, and she's going to do that class again in the fall of the year, I think. There are times when people come to us and ask for prayer. When they do, there are many different reasons people come to you, and they use prayer, and a lot of times I'm asked, will you pray for me? And I used to say, yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you hope you remember that night or sometime after. I've changed the way I go about this, and now I say, let's do it now. When people ask you to pray for them, that's when they need it. It's kind of like being an EMT or a first responder. When that buzzer goes off, when the beeper goes off, how many times do you say, Jimmy, I'll be there after a while? You can't do that. And it's the same with prayer. When people need prayer, they need it now. So find an opportunity when you're asked to pray to do it right then. You may have to step over to a private spot, whatever. If you can do it then, pray for them, because that's when they're in need. We have two devotionals we read every day, most every day, and we have a blessing box that's full of affirmation cards. We try to read these every day. Sometimes life gets in the way, it seems, and we don't get to read them every day. And every day when we do this, we send out scriptures. We text. I text. So it's a new skill for me. I'm learning. But we do. We send out text of maybe take a picture of these scriptures, the cards, the blessings, and send them out to people. Hopefully it helps them through their day. It's something we got into, and I enjoy it. And it's a good time that we have this time together, that we can commune together with God. And this is very important. Our prayer time and devotional time in the morning is a special time, and it's a very good way to start the day. I told Kay a while back, as sometimes we do, like I said, life gets in the way, and I may be in a hurry, especially here lately, to get on with my day and get started, and we skip this. Well, I told Kay a while back that the days we do this devotional and we do have our prayer time, those days go pretty good. It doesn't matter what happens. There's always bumps in the road, and sometimes the bumps are big. But if we have our prayer time in the morning and our devotionals, I can handle it better. The bumps are just as bad, but they don't feel as bad, and you can take it a whole lot better. The days I don't do it, it's not good. It just these times just are tougher when you don't do that. You hear it said that God will never put more on you than you can handle. Wrong. I say God will never put more on you than he can handle. This is where prayer comes into effect. This is where we start leaning on God. Go through your day with God, not without him. Don't say, I can handle this. No. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to lean on him. That's how we make it through the day. So turn to him. Philippians 4:6 says, pray in every situation. God wants us to come to him no matter what our needs. There's nothing too small or too great we can ask him. Now let me ask you a question. The billboard out there said, "Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe when you pray to God, He is listening? Do you believe it in your head or do you believe it in your heart?" Billy Graham said, ask the same question. Do you believe in God with your head or with your heart? When you pray, do you pray with your head? Do you just use your mouth? Or do you pray with your heart? The Bible tells us to get in the Spirit when we pray. That means be one with God. You know, when we pray, God's our friend. He's the best friend we're ever going to have. He is our way. Jesus is our way to salvation. He wants us to come to Him daily, continually. John 5:14 says, if we ask anything according to His way, He hears us. He's always listening. If we pray from our heart, if we just give Him a common term today, is word salad. If we just give Him word salad, I think He's deaf to us. He wants to hear us genuinely talk to Him. Like I said, He's our best friend. When dividing up the land, as was read earlier, Joshua said he wanted the hill country. There's a group of people live up there that are mean. They're bad. They're big. They got big cities, tall walls. How in the world is Joshua going to get through with this? He don't have any cannons. The only cannon he carries is God. God knows the way. God had told him he can have the hill country. He's going to go get it. He's got faith. He knows in his heart, I don't have to worry about them bad guys up there. I've got it covered. God has it covered. So he believed, not with his head, he believed with his heart. This is a case of believing with your heart and taking on more than you can handle. He knew he couldn't do it. God can do it. He didn't just think it was going to happen. He knew it was going to happen. Today he'd be saying, honey, call two men in the truck. We out of here. He knew he was moving. Sometimes people ask how to pray. Matthew 6:6, Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites and pray standing in synagogues or standing on corners. They have received their rewards. What's he mean by this? Is it wrong to pray in public? No. Who are you praying to? Are you praying to the people? There's nothing wrong with praying in public, but you got to be praying to God, not to people. Jesus said, if you're praying to the people, if you're just talking to them, you got what you asked for already. You don't get a reward later. We've got to pray. This is praying from the heart, praying to God, as we said. He's your buddy. He's your friend. He's your best friend. Talk to Him all the time. How in the world? I don't understand how in the world people make it through bad times without God. It's got to be a sad thing when people cannot come to God and pray. Our prayers don't have to be long and wordy. And just you don't have to try to throw in all the big words, you know, with God. That's just to impress the people around us sometimes. He doesn't care about that. He wants us just to open our hearts to Him. And sometimes I've wondered in the past, I probably will wonder again, am I saying my prayers right? I don't seem to be getting the answer. Well, He's not always going to answer us right now. His time is different than ours. And some time back, I prayed the same thing, prayed for the same thing daily. I didn't see anything happening, and I started to wonder, am I saying my prayer wrong? Am I doing something wrong? You change it up. You try to make your prayer in a different way. Change what you're saying. About this time, I opened the Bible to Romans 8:26. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. God knows what our problems are. He knows what we need. And He knows what His plan is. He wants us, He's not just going to fix it. He wants us to come to Him. This is what prayer is about, is having communion with God. just like I said, he already knows. We have to come to him. I once said something about saying the Lord's Prayer. My Aunt Olivine, who's just a little bit outspoken, said, "You don't say the Lord's Prayer, you pray the Lord's Prayer." Big eye-opening deal for me. And we don't. We shouldn't just say it. It's not a poem you're reciting in school. It is a prayer to God. And it's a serious prayer. If you think about it, in the Lord's Prayer, there is a covenant. What is it? We ask God to forgive us of our sins the way we forgive others that have sinned against us. This is, we're making a deal with God or asking him to. How many of us still have animosity towards somebody? We have got to give that up. We've got to give it up in prayer. Because of what we're asking every time we say the Lord, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, caught me, didn't you? Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're asking God to forgive us the way we forgive. This is serious. Take it serious. Every time we pray should be serious. We've got to think about these things. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing and give thanks in all circumstances, whatever our situation. Thank God. Sometimes that's tough, but it's what we need to do. Always come to God in prayer. Luke 18:1 says, pray without giving up. Don't give up. Just because you pray today and ask for something, that doesn't mean everything's okay and it's going to come tomorrow. How long did Abraham have to wait? 25 years. So we may have to wait a while. Don't give up. I heard about an elderly woman one time, years ago, that had come down with a debilitating disease. Somebody asked her about it, and she said, I thank God that he has enough faith in me to give me this disease, and no, I will not turn from him. It's tough when you have to go through bad times, but we still turn to God in prayer. We still ask him to be with us and thank him for every day we have, no matter what our situation is. Pray all the time. Jesus said, go to a dark corner and pray. By what Paul said, pray all the time. Do we live in a dark corner? No. We pray, we live our life. We live a Christian life continually in prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be open and said aloud. When I was fully in business and had to be on the road a lot, I prayed a lot on the road. Good time to pray, isn't it? When you're on the road, people out there kill you. You can pray just going down the road. A thought, just a thought of God. Thank you, God, for giving me this day. We have to continually come to him. This elderly lady, she thanked God that he had enough trust in her that she would not turn away from him. It's not always easy, but that's our life. That is our Christian life. There was a time in my life that I wouldn't pray for myself. I wasn't going to bother God with little things I had, or he's got other things to do. Why would he want to? I know he's there. He would do it, but I'm not going to bother him. You can't bother God. Come to him in every situation. We need to come to him in all situations. As we said, pray without ceasing. Pray in all situations. Thank him daily. Do you thank him? Think about the guy on the horse. Prayed one time. Never went back to thank God. This is just amazing to me. The title of one of our devotionals is, was The Agony of Prayer. And sometimes prayer does bring on agony, especially when people come to you and ask you to pray. Pray for them. They tell you what their needs are and what their problems are. And sometimes it will bring you into their problems. You'll feel it in your heart. When you're praying, as we said, you pray from the heart. So during these times, it brings you down in a way that you're with them. And the saying, I feel your pain, you will feel these people's pain. And you pray with them and you pray in earnest, not from the mind, not just words, but you pray from the heart. And so you will feel what they feel at times. These are the times that you need to pray for yourself also, not with that person, but when we go into the prayer room, we always pray to start with, that God will guide us in helping us with the people that will come to us with prayer. That's when you pray for yourself. God already knows our needs. He knows we aren't perfect. He knows that we need to come to Him in prayer. He's there waiting on us continually. When you pray, pray with your whole heart, then listen and feel and wait. Sometimes you'll feel that tap on your shoulder. Sometimes you may be sitting in the pew just fat, dumb, and happy, and thinking this day is going good, and then all of a sudden somebody will mention a job that needs to be done, and you feel that tap on your shoulder. And if you're fortunate, your mate will feel that tap on your on her shoulder too, or his shoulder, and you both have been called by God to do something. That's happened with Kay and I in our prayer life. At times we may think that God didn't answer us. He always answers. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed and asked God, take this cup from me, did God answer him? He did. The answer was no. We can thank God that he told him no. And why? If Jesus had that cup taken from him, I got to carry my sins, and I don't want that. Without God telling Jesus no, he didn't die on the cross, and that's how we get relief from our sins. So, yes, he answers all prayers. And there's times that he looks, as the Bible said, we need to pray in a way that it is following what God wants. And sometimes the prayers that he don't answer, it used to be a song, some of the God's greatest gift was unanswered prayers. We may ask for crazy things and look back in our life and say, I'm sure glad he didn't answer that one. Or I'm sure glad he said no when I asked him. Because we don't always ask for what's best for us, and we don't always ask for what's best for God's plan. Sometimes we pray and ask God for something, and then we tell him how to do it. He don't need our help. He's got it figured out. When we tell him how to do it, won't we just do it ourselves? He doesn't need our help, like I said. He will take our best interest into his heart, and he will fix our situation. Prayer is a very personal connection with God. As said earlier, he already knows our needs. He just wants us to come to him. Yeah, if he already knows our needs, fix it now. He wants us to have that connection with him. He is, maybe need is the wrong word, but he does need for us to need him. And we do need him. He wants us to lean on him. He wants us to go through life with him. He wants to help carry us. So pray, pray often, and last but not least, don't forget to thank him. Always thank him. God doesn't just want to hear our problems. He wants to share in our joys. And with God, we can have more joys than you can ever imagine. Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door, knocking. Open the door. Amen.
You know, James, I stand, I'm sure, with everybody here as I look back on my history with prayer and I think of the many times that I prayed for things and received them, and then the many times that I prayed for things and didn't receive them. And I can look back and say, thank goodness I didn't receive some of the things that I had prayed for. God knew what was best, and he always does. So thank you for that word and that witness. We come now into a time of prayer where we lift up to the Lord the concerns that weigh upon our heart. And we do so in the space, as James has wonderfully elucidated for us, we do so in a space knowing and trusting that that God, that amazing God, is not just standing back aloof, but is actively engaging with us in our words and in our hearts and in our spirits, that God is engaged with us. So we seek out the Lord now and go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as always, we just thank you for this day and for this opportunity to gather together, Father God. Not everybody has this level of freedom, and so we thank you for the freedom that we share that allows us to congregate and worship as believers in Christ. And Father God, we recognize that that freedom comes from a source that you and how you maintain it through the work of our armed forces, and we thank you for their service and for their witness to you in their own unique ways. Father God, we praise you for the good work that you've done in Jesus Christ, as well as the good work you continue to do with his believers, and we just ask and pray that you would continue to dwell inside us by the power of your Holy Spirit, illuminating for us your path and your way, so that we might continue to follow you as faithful believers in Jesus Christ. As faithful believers in Jesus Christ, we know and believe that you not only hear our prayers, but that you do indeed respond. And so we lift up in prayer to you particular names, as well as the list that they're drawn from, knowing and fully believing that you are actively engaged, Father God. So we pray for all of those who are on Cook's Prayers this list this morning, including especially the family of Jill Griffin. Oh, Lord, what a loss to so many people. And we just pray for her family now, knowing and trusting that Jill is safe and her life continues with you. God, we thank you for Don Monte's safe journeys back to Charlotte and just pray for his full recovery to health. We just pray for him, just as we pray for Johnny Quinn and Nancy Smith. We celebrate with Richard Smith and the many others that have received good news this week. Father God, we just thank you for your intercessory work as well as your ongoing guidance that you deliver to us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Gracious God, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was him who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is the time that we have set aside for the giving and reflection on the sermon, so let's just take a moment to do that briefly. We come now into a special time, a time in which the word is delivered to us in a special way through the sacraments. The sacraments are, as we know, visible signs of the Lord's amazing and invisible grace. We come to the Lord's table knowing and trusting that the Lord has invited all of his children to come and eat and to be prepared at this table. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before there was, you were, Father God, and yet in that space you spoke a word and everything that we've ever experienced was created in a flash, your word's power, delivering unto the universe its initial nudge, continuing to oversee all aspects, Father God. You who have shared with us every good thing, every high and wonderful blessing comes to us from above, and we recognize you and thank you for the gifts of this earth, for the bounteous ways that she provides, the earth provides for us, and for the many ways in which we're called to steward your creation. Father God, we thank you for your act of creation. So too, Father God, do we thank you for your act in and through Jesus Christ of forging a new covenant, a covenant not written upon tablets of stones, but instead etched upon the very contours of our heart. Father God, in the fullness of time, you took flesh in order to reconcile a wayward people to you forever. And through Jesus Christ, you did exactly that, taking upon him the sin of the world. By his stripes, Father God, you have healed us so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, and we thank you for Jesus Christ. So too do we thank you for your Holy Spirit and the gifts of this communion that the Spirit is providing for us, Father God. Use the Holy Spirit to make these true markers and measures of your grace and mercy so that we might specially participate in this communion with you, Father God, at a very high level. Father God, all the blessings in the world are yours, and to you belong all honor and power and glory. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ that we make these prayers. Amen. We receive communion today. We'll take the elements inside. You'll find three options, leavened bread, and then you have gluten-free bread in the muffin holder, and then there are actually sealed full communion packs in there as well. So today, let us remember that on the night that he was arrested, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread, giving it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink this cup, you do this in remembrance of me." Friends, every time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until he comes again in glory. So let us now eat and drink to the glory of God.
Christ given for you? Is the body of Christ given for you? Is the body of Christ given for you? The body of Christ given for you? This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the cup of salvation. Cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. It's the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation. It's the cup of salvation. The cup of salvation. Let us close with prayer. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this meal in which you've fed us both nutritionally and spiritually, Father God. We recognize the blessing that we've just taken in, this visible sign of an invisible grace. Father God, allow that
allow that change to manifest itself in us, to awaken us to the depth in which you've loved us through your Son's Jesus Christ atoning and sacrificial death. Awaken to us the goodness of your Holy Spirit that is even now closer to us than our next breath, leading us and guiding us further and further in your way and in your work. And Father God, most especially as we leave this sanctuary, fill us with the strong sense of our mission to share the good news of the gospel with all that we encounter. Bless us and thank you again for this meal. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please rise. We now conclude our worship. And friends, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Back there, if you have prayer requests or needs, that's a great place to go.